You never know who may be listening to you. Hello, all. It's Two Legs. It's the live edition of Two Legs. It's Tom Hunyadi. It's Andy Nichols. And we're back for another Ranking the Tracks. It's volume 12. It is
a tug of war.
It is a tug of war. Get it? Anyways.
You got to get it.
You got to get it. Yeah. Anyways. So,
you got to get it and you got to get it good.
So what are we doing? What's that we're doing tonight? It's a tug of war. We're going to rank the tracks for tug of war. So give it a second here and see.
Let's fix our little chat issue here. There.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to switch it to live now. That's annoying. But we're here. We're good.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Here we are. Where are we?
So what's going on today, brother?
Not much, man. Just continuing the big dig out here, here in the Northeast. But back's a little sore, but we're surviving. Yeah.
Okay,
we're surviving, good. And really looking forward to this one.
Yes.
I swear, every time we go live, that freaking phone of yours goes off.
It's nonstop, man. This phone is always making noises.
Oliver says, "Glad you're not dressed up like robbers."
Very good.
Hi, Susan.
Susan.
And Bill and Hudson.
Hello, Hudson, Bill.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for hopping on our usual time. Adam's there. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Shadow Productions. Hello, Shadow. Only the Shadow knows. That's an in-joke between me and him.
Okay.
We're here for volume 12.
We're volume 12. Yeah,
12 records already we're up to. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. This is, 11 really, just 12 shows.
Well, 12, but even,
So.
Yeah.
But, I showed this the other day. Happy to have the Japanese McCartney 3. So the collection is continuing. There just is no stopping the McCartney 3 machine. Got that. I do have something I'm going to open up.
Open her up.
This is from the McCartney website, and less than 10 days to get this. Isn't that great?
Too bad they couldn't do that with the vinyl.
Exactly. So really cool to have this. It was time to get a new McCartney t-shirt. So here we go. We got the.
Let's see McCartney. Now. Does it have the back?
No.
Come on.
What? It's good enough just like this.
Well,
this is all you need. You know what I mean?
Life is a bowl of cherries.
It is. You got that right, Forrest.
Yeah.
But
hi, Steve. Steve Lawler says hi.
Hey.
Yep. Hudson says McCartney sings too much rain. I prefer too much snow.
I like that.
Oliver says was surprised when he re-listened to Tug of War. There were some tricks that were had that he had some tracks that he had mixed feelings. Well,
okay,
we're here to talk about him tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Hudson loves your shirt, by the way.
Ah, thank you.
And so does Adam.
And Susan. Great. Let's just show this baby one more time. I like it because it's the full length of the shirt,
which is
part,
nice. You know? And it's got the nice like little that. Title in the upper right hand corner, which is pretty
exactly.
dope.
Yeah, so
30 bucks, 40 bucks?
Yeah, 30, yeah. But it looks like it's a true extra large, so happy about that. We'll see what happens when we wash it.
Don't put it in a dryer.
So maybe in a couple weeks I'll get a Ram t-shirt.
That one looks pretty dope, too. The old yellow one where it just says Ram.
Yes.
I'm going to grab that one, too. We should.
Okay.
Maybe we didn't buy all these up and wear them for a ranking.
Maybe we'll order it on the same day, see who gets theirs first.
Maybe we'll see. Yeah, but that's a pretty cool shirt there, Thomas.
Yeah, I like it. Almost got the Zippo, the Flaming Pie Zippo, but I'll save that for another time.
For what? Well, you got enough Flaming Pie stuff.
You can never have enough Flaming Pie stuff.
I suppose not.
So we're ranking Tug of War today. And this album, this is like the top five album of McCartney's career.
Easily.
You know,
easily.
it's always in everybody. It's generally in everybody's top five of his career. I love it. I don't think it's a perfect record. There's some misses on this album. You know what I mean? But the strong stuff is strong. Yeah, even the good stuff is good. But you know, like I said, a couple wink links here, if you
and
will.
And there's a couple. Yeah. But there's a couple, and I have to say though, before we get started, and for people like, well, how do we rank this other track better? For me personally, like, I love the whole album. I mean, there's some tracks that we like better than others, but as a whole,
right?
Like, you know, I don't skip tracks on this record. I don't think Tom does either. I don't know.
I mean, I don't skip anything on this one.
No, but the whole album, start to finish, with the exception of one track, which is going to be our number 12. It's good. I mean, obviously there is some stuff that just, there are one or two songs that kind of change the flow of the record.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I'm sure that Tom would agree with. And yeah. Some of our fans out there said the same thing. And because it kind of messes the overall feel of the record.
Absolutely agree with that. Absolutely.
You know, so, but I think that's kind of generally how we'll see. 12 tracks. I'm very curious. We're not going to have the same, but I'm sure we'll have some of the higher ones pretty close.
Oh, pretty close. Yeah, exactly.
But this is like the gold standard. If you were going to introduce Solo McCartney to somebody, you couldn't go wrong with starting with this one and saying.
Starting with this one, yeah. I mean, I could agree with that. You know, here's a good introduction to McCartney. Whether or not you like knowing their taste of music, if they like something a little heavier, maybe you would go in a different direction. But but I do think that this is kind of in a way a Beatle-y record, you know, because you do have that George Martin connection, you do have the Ringo connection, you know, the Emmerich connection, you know. So I do feel like there's some songs on here that do feel a little
Abbey Roadish,
Beatle-y, you know. You know, For No One, you know, I mean, kind of that stuff, you know, because there's a lot of orchestration
and brass.
You know, on this album. So, it's phenomenal record. Absolutely.
Did you buy this? Were you a fan when this album first came out, or you weren't a fan yet?
Well, exactly. But see, okay, here's the thing. You know, I remember watching the Take It Away video.
That was your right.
It was my introduction, and that was it was a beautiful. But it didn't make me run out and get the album. I mean, I'm only
seven or eight.
Eight, 9 years old at that time. So there was really no go out and get this album really.
You weren't at that album buying age, I
exactly.
Suppose.
Plus, my world was still all Star Wars at that point in time in my life, you know. So,
rightly so.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. So, but then when I did finally get this album, it was just a classic from the get go. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So I believe you kick us off this week.
Yes. Yes, I do. And, you know. It is what it is. It is.
We weren't going to rank this because it has its own track.
Yes.
We have to.
Yeah, you have to. And it is Be What You See link. You know, it's not really much to it. I mean, it's a nice little pink or a nice little piece. It kind of has that, you know, Take Me Back, you know, kind of thing going into, you know, on the White Album.
Yeah.
Can You Take Me Back a little bit. And then he goes right into Dress Me Up as a Robber, you know. So I kind of dig it for that, but it's like if I do skip something, it would be this.
It would be this, but for, it's only 30 seconds too.
Right, and I do kind of like the vocal, you know, how the vocals are on this. But other than that, it's just there's really no purpose for it. I'm sure he just had this little piece and he wanted to put it. He really liked it and he wanted to put it on the album. You know, that's all I can really.
Yeah, as a link, you know, as a link.
Yeah, exactly.
As a linking piece, you know, but yeah, it's Tom's 12. It's my 12. I think it's pretty much everybody's 12. I think for the most part that we saw in our chats today on social media, when people were commenting and putting their own rankings, I think just about everybody had that as their 12 as well.
Just about 12 or 11. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's that. So what's your 11, partner?
Okay. You know, I feel bad for this because this person is such a, you know, an icon, you know, especially from, you know, 50s and 60s, but it's Get It.
You're going to rank Carl below Stevie.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's you know, just a McCartney song. I mean, I would have thought it'd been really cool if, you know, if it could have been a true collaboration, kind of like Ebony and Ivory, you know, if that could have been a you know, a true collaboration. But I'll tell you what, you know what I like a lot better is the My Old Friend.
My Old Friend.
You know, which, you know, Carl Perkins wrote the day before he left and yeah. They recorded it there. And, you know, Paul, you know, contributes to that song as well, which I think is just a 10 times better song.
Imagine if that song made this record.
Oh, and it could have. It could have. You know, they recorded it in 90, I believe.
Right, but then there's that great video of them playing it together in the 90s.
Oh, isn't that great?
Oh, that's a great video.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's funny, there's also another YouTube clip where he's talking about the song. And then the phone rings and it's Paul McCartney.
And it's him. And he's like, right. Is that the phone now? And then he gets up, right? And he goes to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling probably a lot of people when they're ranked. I mean, you got to think of all the tracks in this album.
Right. And see, this is the one of those two songs. One for me, like you were saying, that kind of ruins the flow of the album. This is one of the two songs for me that kind of just maybe doesn't fit the album. But you know, I don't skip it. You know, I don't hate it. You know,
No, but yeah. Okay. Don't feel guilty. Hey, Bulldog says, don't feel guilty about any of your choices, Tom. Be what you see.
Okay. There you go.
My number 11 is one of the Stevie songs.
Okay.
And that's What You're Doing.
Yeah.
What's How You're Doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a great jam in it. Mm-hmm. It goes on a little bit too long. Again, as I prefaced before we started, I won't skip this track at all. I love the track. But I just do it. You've got Tug of War, Take It Away, Somebody Who Cares, and then it's like, whoa, we're going to this like synth funk jam thing, and it just goes on a little bit too long.
Yeah, well, it's 6:22. It does go on too long.
It's a little bit of a long side, and
You're in wildlife territory there, you know.
You know, and
6 minutes plus.
I get it. It evolved out of the, you know, from a jam after Stevie finally got to Montserrat, as we know if you read the story in the archive book. You know, Paul was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Stevie to show up, and finally did. And this kind of evolved after Ebony and Ivory. Great vocal work from Paul on it, you know.
Yeah.
And again, it's a great song, but in the context of what the album Tug of War is,
right.
I don't think it flows as well. And that's why it's my number 11.
Okay.
You're up, partner.
All right. Number 10, top 10. Again, don't hate the song. And I just wish this was more of a real collaboration. And this is, and it's Ebony Ivory. I just like the other stuff better. You know, musically, it's cheesy to me. I think it could have been better musically. I think the video does. I mean, videos really don't matter. Should judge a song or not?
Right? No, yeah, it's two different mediums.
Exactly. And I kind of like it with just Paul singing it. The solo version, which we got on the archive release.
Yeah.
And a nice sentiment. Nice, you know. Obviously, we want harmony between everybody and. But for me, it's just always a lot kind of like bland.
It's just bland for you.
Yeah, for me, it's just bland. You know, I guess the vocals are nice. I mean, I will say one thing. I think the vocals on this album are some of Paul's best vocals.
You know, like the production value of this song?
No, not really. No, it's just kind of bland.
Let me catch up on the comments here. Yeah. They're flying in here now. Okay. What's that you're doing? McCartney sounds bland on that. Marcus Thompson, welcome. Says the My Old Friend connection with Lennon's pretty heartbreaking. Agrees.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, this song is always on every hits compilation. Yeah. Serge said the solo version he agrees with you is much better.
Yeah, I think so. He
agrees with you. Bill Leary says he remembers seeing the video before MTV on shows like Fridays on ABC.
Yeah.
ABC.
Right,
Friday
right,
Night Videos, right. Which was on NBC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hudson has it, Ebony and Ivory at 10, and Susan has it at 5. Yeah, and a lot of people I was talking to you with friends and people fans of the show, and the kind of thing with the overwhelming feeling with the song was great sentiment, not a great song.
Right. And a lot of people use the word embarrassing. I don't think it's embarrassing myself. However, again, it's just, I think it's just weak in some places.
Maybe. Not comparing the video and stuff, and I have it ranked a little bit higher. The video is great because the video kind of takes another page out of the coming up bit where you've got Stevie and Paul
on the keyboards,
you know, kind of, you know, two or three times over again. So, of course, you know, that was Keith McMillan, the group producer, was early videos doing that. So the video, I mean, it's one, as somebody who grew up in the early 80s, it was one of, I remember this video a lot.
Yeah.
It as Tom does too. He's a little bit older than me, but I've never gotten on the whole it's cheesy, it's corny. I like the sentiment. I said, give me a little extra cheese on it. I like it. I do. I like this song. I do.
Fair enough.
So that was your 10, Tom?
That was my 10. Yeah.
All right. So Tom's, all right. So that's number 10 for Tom. Right. Number 10 for me is Get It, which was Tom's 11. I song that I actually liked a lot of. I used to skip it a lot when I was younger. Mm. First of all, I didn't even know who was singing on it. I was like, who is this guy with this like country like type voice?
Right.
Like so out of place on this record. I'm like, not really into this one. But I've liked it as I've gotten older. But to Tom's point, I agree with him. It messes with the flow of the record overall.
Right.
You know, the record has, you know, just George Martin, Beatles production, how you stamped over all of this. And you've got Get It. And then you've got like, What's That You're Doing? And a couple of these kind of other tracks that kind of just take it out of its, the theme of the album.
Maybe off the track for a minute. Yeah.
Just a little bit. And Get It, that's what Get It is for me. Again, I don't skip it, but it is my number 10. And I like the laughing at the end as it kind of takes us to that little Be What You See. Serge was at the 89 show in LA when Stevie sang it with
Serge, lucky you.
Man. Tom Brennan also prefers, he prefers Paul's demo of Ebony and Ivory. Yeah. It's slow, but pretty. Yeah, the demo is great as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so that was number 9. That was number 10 for me. Number 9 for you,
number
brother.
Number 9 for me. Okay, like this a little bit more than Ebony and Ivory. This is what's that you're doing for me is number 9. A little bit more interesting than Ebony and Ivory. And, you know, I listen to the song and I'm thinking, man, why couldn't they have done this something like this on McCartney 2? You know what I mean? Why couldn't they do a cool collaboration like this on McCartney 2? Because Steve is totally into that kind of thing.
He loves
that stuff. The, you know, the drum machine. I mean, the crazy synths, you know, so I kind of dig this. And to your point, it's 6:22. It does go on a little too long. I do really like Paul's, you know, when he's doing the chorus, you know, what's that you're doing, girl? I like what you do to me. I mean, that stuff. I really like that. I like the vocal effects on that.
Oh, and he's killer screaming, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And shout, all that stuff. Right. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, unfortunately, again, it kind of like, you know, you got somebody who cares, and then all of a sudden you just got this crazy.
And then you come out of this, and then you go in here today, and it's like, whoa, like maybe this track would have been better on side two.
Yeah, maybe. It's almost like if the track It's Not On was in somewhere in on Pipes of Peace,
you know,
and it just kind of almost.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of almost, as great as It's Not On is, it's just doesn't fit the pace of that album. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't think it would have sat nicely along like Hey Hey or Tug of Peace?
No.
Okay.
No. But altogether, I'm glad that they actually collaborated on
absolutely like that's, you know? And it's a good, you look at this song on its own and not in a tug of war context. It's a great song.
Right.
It's just I think it's a little bit too long and it's too soon in the album. It needs to be, that needs to be like middle of side two, you know, second track after track one, something like that.
Right.
And then I think it probably wouldn't have been as like, whoa, like, I mean, and again, it could have been shaved off a minute or two.
Exactly.
Tom Brennan says, what's that you're doing? Should have been on Pipes of Peace with tracks like Hey, Hey. Well, then you would have had two Two of them. But you've had Stevie and Michael. Imagine that. Having the two of them on one record. He broke it up.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if I would have liked that idea much, because you get two Paul and Michael songs on Pipes of Peace.
And a lot. Of course, we spoke to our friend, the Queen, Kid O'Toole, some months ago, and we did an episode on the Michael Jackson stuff. But one of the things Paul kind of, the 80s aspect that people really love to just crucify him on is just like doing these kind of duets with the mega stars of the day, the Michael Jacksons, the Stevie Wonders, because he was over the hill. He was 40 years old, and people were just like, well, he's just going to just sell himself out with the stars of the day. I don't think that's really fair.
Plus, you know, I think he's also trying to reach to a larger audience too, working with a Stevie and a Michael Jackson too, you know, but what
we got the queen's on. The Queen goes, "It's not on is great. Off with your heads." Gone.
I'm sorry, Queen. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Please delete that message.
We love you, Queen. And thank you for being here tonight. Right. Kit, really. I know Kit is so busy. She does so much great stuff, teaching virtually at Monmouth University, which is from my original hometown. So, and sign up for her classes. She does some great work through them, and she's got great articles out there always. Check her out, Kit O'Toole. Christian says, did they sing "She Loves You"? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sing that at the outro of this track, won't they?
I don't recall hearing that.
"Loves You"? Yeah, yeah. They shout a little bit. As I seem to hear it. Susan asks, for some reason, MPL doesn't own any publishing rights for "What's That You're Doing." It won't revert until 2022. Wow.
Interesting. I have to look into that.
Wonder why. Maybe Kit can, you know. She said, "That's okay. I forgive you." All right. Moving on to my number nine.
What's your nine?
My number nine is, and we'll kind of give everybody a little bit of we like to do this every once in a while. Here's my number nine. "Dress Me Up as a Robber" is my nine, which Joe Mayo, he was worried that this was going to be my number one. It's not, Joe. It's not, okay? It's at number nine. I don't know why he thought I would have this at number one. Me and Joe.
Because you two differ so much.
Me and Joe do a little bit of this. But come on, Joe. I love you, Joe. I would never. Come on, a tug of war. This would not be. Listen, if somebody has this as their number one,
right?
God bless. Yeah. If that's what you like. Weird track. You know, kind of all over the place. You know, falsettos through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which he's done. Kind of like the demos that we got of this better than.
On the archive?
On the archive than this polished version. Yeah. Nice kind of, I like the guitar work here.
Oh, yeah, great. Really cool. Oh. Yeah, and that's Paul doing the Spanish guitar too.
That's great, man. I mean, that alone right there makes this track great. But again, on an album so great of great tracks, we got to put it somewhere. So that is why that's my number nine. Number eight for you.
Okay, number eight for me is the title track, "Tug of War."
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, listen.
All right, I gotta settle in for this one.
My biggest beef, as much as I love Linda on backing vocals, the backing vocals on this song, I just don't like. I don't like the pushing, the pulling. I just don't like any of the backing vocals on this track for some reason. Now his vocals are excellent on this, and you know the instrumentation is really good.
People are shocked. Kit is shocked. Bill Leary is shocked. I'm shocked too. I think this is a new number eight.
Yeah.
Damn,
this
Tom.
Is number eight.
Oh, it's all just because of the Linda vocals put this one all the way down to and eight for you?
Yeah, and then I don't like the sound effects before it.
So he's trying to set the mood here.
So what? I don't care. Bro. Like, again, I don't hate the song. It's just where
You have it at eight, so you don't love it.
So there's seven other songs that I like more.
It's not a big deal. No, but I thought you would have had it, you know, a little bit higher.
Okay. I'm sure Paul wishes he was a little bit higher too.
Bill Leary, Rolling Stone called "Tug of War" Paul's "Imagine." Interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Interesting comparison. Yeah. Tom Lavrani says number eight. Tom, Hudson's like, wow. Susan says, double wow. You got people going with that one. You got people going with that one. Brennan has it as number four.
And that's fine. It's a divert, deservingly so. You know, it's fine. It's a great track. It's just some parts of it annoy me.
Hey, Bulldog Andy, it's Tom's list, not yours. Yeah, I know, Bulldog. And your point being what?
All right, Jersey boy.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, yeah, it's, we're talking here.
Yeah, we're talking. Okay, go ahead. Number 8 for you.
8 for me. Ebony and Ivory. Ebony and Ivory. Adam, that is your shout out. How are you, my friend? Ebony and Ivory. Like I said, we kind of talked about it when Tom had it at his, I think it was 10 for Tom, I think, or 11.
Yep, 10.
I never really kind of got all the Ebony and Ivory hate. I like the playing on it. I've always liked, you know, again, I like the production of it too, and the sentiment too. You know, he can put them anywhere he wants. Yes, he can, and I can put them anywhere I want. So yeah, we got a rookie on here tonight. All right, go.
Right, we had 7. Okay, I got Dress Me Up as a Robber is my number 7. I love his falsetto. I love the Spanish guitar playing. The only part I don't like is that. That's the only part I really don't care about this track. I love the kind of Bee Gees style, you know, guitar playing, and I really consider this probably like a lost Bee Gees song because
awesome, and that is an awesome analogy.
And I can also see Barry Gibb singing this song, and you know, when that Arta McCartney tribute to Paul came out several years ago, instead of doing, I think he did what did Barry Gibb do? The Vera Chuck and Dave song, you know what I'm talking about, When I'm 64. And I wish he would have done this, Dress Me Up as a Robber, because he's just got that great, you know, high falsetto singing voice. And Paul's is just as good, but I think that would have been great for Barry.
That would have been a perfect one for him to do, for sure.
Yeah.
That is,
and I, you know, yeah, I like, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, this is so much. I think this, you know, it doesn't make a difference what you want to do, whichever way you look at it, you know, I'm still in love with you, you know, we can go on forever, you know, I do like the lyrics on here. I like the lyrics on a lot of these songs, but I think there's a lot to like, and I think people kind of rank this one a little bit lower, and I wish people would just kind of like listen to this with a, you know, an open mind, you know, a little bit more.
I mean, very different kind of Paul track, for sure.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And you know, and you got Paul on the Spanish guitar on that one, right? Kind of thing, and then our friend Dave Maddox played on this track as well, you know.
So. That's right. And Dave Maddox, who we interviewed, was on this track. So excellent drum work on this track for sure.
Yep.
That's a great observation there, Thomas. Yeah. I'm gonna hear that song and think Barry Gibb every time I hear
it.
There
you go. All right, that's my 7.
Number 7 for me. Yeah. Big BD, Ballroom Dancing. Yeah. Ballroom Dancing. Yeah. Again, you know, a couple tracks on here obviously found their way onto Broad Street, this being one of them. And again, earlier childhood memories, thinking, when I think of this song, I think of Broad Street, just because I'm that of that age. Right. But again, a great song, was a Wings song. You could hear Wings rehearsing it there in, I believe, October of 1980. I don't know if I have my dates right, but, you know, a couple of these songs he rehearsed like hell with that last version of Wings, Take It Away.
Right.
Rain Clouds, Ballroom Dancing. A couple of them. So great song. Very Beatly.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, lots of stuff in it, kind of the middle section, which is all cool. So you know, it's let's see. Music Sound Gear. First time I'm watching your podcast live, I'll probably blow a gasket at your rankings. That's Music Sound
That's
Gear.
That's great.
Welcome. Just don't blow a gasket, you know, for real. Disagree. But don't really. It's just music.
Yes, you know? Exactly. We all disagree here. We all get to still get along, my friend.
We're not reinventing the wheel here. You know, I like the big beady. It's just a real, it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in that song. Again, it's almost like a kind of an Uncle Albert, Albert Halsey part two, a little bit going on with that song.
Yeah, maybe.
Which Serge asks, which version, Ballroom? Which version of Ballroom? Tug of War or Broad Street? I'd probably go Tug of War version, I think.
Yeah, I think I would too.
But I won't. That answer will change for another track on this album. That's later.
I do dig the ballroom dancing though scene in Broad Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it starts out in the China Cup. Right. Puts, you know, thing on and wave the sword. Yeah.
Right.
Susan says she loves her big ballroom dancing. It's her number four. Wow.
She loves her big BD.
Anyways, number six for you.
Okay, number six for me. Now the rest of these songs I absolutely adore, love, cherish.
Could have flip-flopped anyway.
Well, number two and one are always going to be two and one for me. But I'm going with Somebody Who Cares as my number six. Again, just I think it's a really cool song. You know, I'm here for you kind of the songs. You know, I really dig like this and you know, Too Much Rain. I kind of dig when he's like talking to you and saying, hey, it's, you know,
it's going to be all right.
I feel you, you know,
yeah.
I mean, and it's going to be okay. And I, you know, musically, I think it's like another Spanish guitar, mm-hmm. You know, on this one too. And, you know, by Paul, and we got to mention, you know, Eric Stewart, this is his first appearance on a McCartney record.
Yeah.
His backing vocals are really strong on this.
And this might have been one of those tracks done at Strawberry Studios.
I have to look that up.
Some work, I was looking at the box set today. Some tracks were done at
Strawberry.
Since this is Eric's first track, as you mentioned.
Actually, it's not his first track on the album.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But I dig it. I dig the softness of it, the mellowness of it, you know, and then you got to mention the Stanley Clark and Steve Gadd too, you know, two brilliant musicians that are on this album and, you know, two guys that don't get enough credit, you know, so I really dig this one. I know how you feel. Yeah.
Again, a good song that just kind of, like you said, kind of gives a nice meaning of empathy.
Yeah. It's like this it's like, Too Much Rain, you know, Who Cares?
Right.
You know, it's like that, you know, I dig that.
He's good at that. Good choice. I have mine coming up also, but, not quite yet. Number six for me, The Pound Is Sinking. The Peso's Falling.
Yes.
The lira is reeling and feeling quite appalling.
Exactly.
So yeah, lots of stuff going on in that song. Mm-hmm. Again, classic. This was two songs that became one. This was Hear Me Lover, and then also The Pound Is Sinking, which he made into one song, of course, which is just typical of McCartney fashion. He takes two songs and throws them together. This time it works really well. The it didn't happen part of the end of this, probably like probably one of the last times he got to that kind of a level,
right?
Of a vocal level, on one of his records,
didn't
right? You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you want to kind of get really deep about it, you know, on some level, is he kind of talking about Lennon's, you know, death at that a little bit? Mm. You know, I've heard people make that observation about this song too.
Interesting.
And it's, you know, when you think about it that way, on some kind of subconscious level, maybe he was. I don't know, but man, it's The Pound Is Sinking is just such an underrated track. Any one of these could have really flip flopped them in anywhere. Once again, it gets the whole British thing going. Well, I feel my dear, all that stuff is pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of my favorite parts of the song. And you know, if we're moving along, then this is my number five. This is my number five is The Pound Is Sinking. And
okay, so carry on.
And I, you know, I dig it lyrically. I you know, the two songs, you know, work together. I think they work together well. I like that we get the two separate on the archive set, so that's really cool. I dig the, you know, Fear My Dear, that it's eminently clear that you can't see the trees from the forest. I dig a lot of this song, and I think I like that part, and I think I like the "Hear Me Lover" part maybe just a slightly a little bit more than the "Pound Is Sinking."
You like the "Hear Me Lover" part,
yeah,
better?
Just because again, like the vocally, I mean, it starts off smooth, and then he just you know takes it to a whole nother level, you know, with that, you know, that roughness that you don't, that you know that we got with like maybe something like "Lucille" or
"Yeah,
or I'm Down" or "Old Darling" or something like that, you know. So "Monkberry Moon Delight," you know.
Yeah.
You know, so that was again, so this is my number five, and again, I really dig it. Yeah.
Okay. Number five for me, Tom mentioned a song or two ago, "Somebody Who Cares." Which also was, if you've read the books and the history, it's actually the one that his son James liked the most. And when making the album, was the one that he instantly hummed, which had all those songs. He was like, because you know, he said that his son really liked that song the most. I know how you feel. It's you know, just that I've always kind of that line that, you know, has taken the wheels off your car and you've had some place to go. It's like so literal, you know. But again, it's so bright and uplifting, right? There's always someone that somebody, you know, and then it kind of just, it's a very bright track. And it's guaranteed to kind of lift your spirits if you've had a kind of crummy day.
Absolutely.
That's why I've always enjoyed that track. So yeah. That's my number five.
All
right. We catch up on some comments.
There.
Yep. Paul was watching the financial news when he wrote "The Pound Is Sinking." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. Hey, well, yeah, those were on bootlegs for a year. Hear me? Yes, they were. On a very famous one called "War and Peace," actually, from back in the day. It was on that bootleg as well. Queen says, for some reason, "The Pound Is Sinking" is probably the one tug of war song that she's never really connected with.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We're caught up. You're up there for number four.
I adore the big BD myself. Again, I mean, for all the reasons that you said, you know, Paul loves this kind of vaudeville style, you know, showy kind of songs, you know, and
gotta sing, gotta dance.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And we got a request to do a show on that as
you
well.
You know, you're right. That's right.
Oliver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oliver so
we'll
wants
do
to
that. We'll do that soon. We'll do that soon. So, ballroom dancing is
ballroom
great.
Dancing.
You know, all the instrumentation, the orchestration on that, I really dig. And like you said, the darn it, you know, the guitar playing on that is pretty smooth. I mean, it's you can go on and on about the track. It's really good. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a little weird, you know, we used to smile when I was a pup sailing down an aisle in a China cup, you know. It's just, you know,
it's like, lyrically, yeah. There's a ton of lyrics in this song. You know, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it is all over the place. And I dig it. You know, there's times where that kind of stuff works, and I think it works here on this track.
Yeah. Kid says, "I see what you did there, Andy." What did I do? I don't know.
But you did something, and she saw it.
Okay. Hopefully it was good, kid. Because if it's not, you know, just make the order.
Right.
Like they do on The Crown. Just do it. Susan says, "Kid, I didn't care for Pound when the album first came out, but it's grown on me over the years too." Yeah, so yeah, lots of stuff could be like that. So, so big ballroom dancing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I will admit some tracks over the years will eventually grow on you. You know, for whatever reason, it just clicks for you, and then all of a sudden, it's just you're a huge fan. You know, of that song.
Okay. Gotta sing that again.
Gotta sing,
gotta dance.
Okay.
Don't call me a stick in the mud, though, please. It's certainly not true.
All right, four for you, buddy.
"Here Today."
Ah, okay.
Which I'm going to assume you probably have that a little higher. We'll see.
Just maybe.
What can you say about "Here Today"? I think one of the things about it is I wish I played it live a lot sooner than 2002. Okay. I mean, now it's been a staple in his set list since he came back. Touring in 2002. I mean, it's been played every time. Anybody who's seen Paul McCartney, Tom's seen him multiple times. I've seen him seven or eight times. He plays this all the time.
Yeah.
And listen, I think live it actually loses a little bit because he plays it so much that he kind of hams it up a little bit personally with the drama, with the effect.
Maybe.
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say that he's not. Obviously, sometimes when he plays it, he obviously does probably feel moved.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, such a great song on the record. George Martin orchestration on it, you know. What can you say about it?
Yeah.
very, very carefully placed at the end of side one too. Because where do you put an album? Where do you put a track that's so important like this? You know,
right?
You know, you've got Ballroom Dancing opens up side two, which is good for that. But as you're talking about, like, what's that you're doing? 6.5 minutes of like funk, and then a song about John Lennon.
John Lennon, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's 2.5 minutes. There's been so much talked about here today that it doesn't really. We're not going to do it any justice here. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's
a beautiful song, and it's heartfelt, and it's the one that he obviously meant to, you know, write. And listen, it doesn't get much more honest than that. And it's as much of a tribute that you're going to actually get from McCartney about Lennon, and he did it beautifully here, and that's why it's number four for me.
Yeah, I mean, the song is not a drag, I can tell you that right now.
Bill Leary says the Amoeba Records version was very touching. Absolutely.
I think you hear him choke up on that one, you know.
Yes, you do. And I saw him at I was gonna call it Shea Stadium, City Field in 2009. And I was pretty close. He legit did. I mean, I don't think it was like a hammed up thing.
Right.
I definitely was. I was pretty close to the stage, and I was.
Right.
Everybody was pretty visibly moved at that moment of the show when he sang that. So.
Yeah. Well, my number three is here today. So yeah, I had it.
Carry on. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, sung very well. I like the, you know, about the, you know, the what about the time we met, you know, and then he, you get that echo effect on there, almost like kind of like what you would get with like a, you know, Lennon McCartney song, almost like sometimes, you know, the counter. You know, in a way, I'm kind of glad and that he didn't release it as a single, but I kind of do wish he released it as a single. You know what I mean?
Well, you bring up a good point that somebody in the chat made. Christian said he thought Here Today should have been the third single.
Well, not only could have been a third single, I think it could have been released. I think this song was ready in 81. This song, I think, could have been released in 81 instead of, you know, that first year where we didn't get any McCartney release whatsoever, you know, throughout his whole career, up until 62. Yeah. So, you know, I think it kind of would have been cool to have seen this as a single, but then you would have got, didn't Empty Garden come out before that, I think?
Or 82. Okay. 82 on the Jump Up album.
Yeah, so this would have came out right after all those years ago then, probably.
Right, because you had the early 82, 83, you had the flurry of the tributes starting to come out. You know, the late Paul Simon, the late, great Johnny Ace, Empty Garden. You know, they didn't come out. 81, really, you just had all those years ago. Queen had Song for Lennon, which I think was on Hot Space.
Wasn't that 82, 83, I think?
Might have been 83. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't really like... George's was the first one, really. Paula Mescal says you and GB, Andy. That's right. Yeah. That's somebody I was at the show with. Yeah.
In the last part, you know, if I say I really loved you, I'm glad you came along. You know, you just hear that and you know, how can you not break down when, you know, if you're Paul singing this, how can you not break down when you sing that line? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, but I do think there is a little element of that. He's like just on autopilot when he sings this song now. You can't just play it every single night. I mean, he just probably goes through the motions.
Yeah, I would like to see him get rid of this and do a different tribute to John. And maybe the song that he picked on his desert island.
Beautiful Boy.
I would love to, you know, hear him do that song.
Yeah. You know, I've been, again, we're talking in like fantasy world because a Paul McCartney tour is like everything else.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, who knows? But listen, it's so you had it at three. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Number three for me is Take It Away. I knew he was going to get so pissed off with that. Yeah, you're going to pull me with Waterfalls, right? I knew it because I know where, because I actually saw your list last week, so I know where this is. I know where this is on your list, and
that's
I knew that's where it was going to be.
Yeah.
I know that Dylan Seavey will not be happy with you either.
Oh well.
Take It Away from me. I really hemmed and hawed about these first my top three. They could have gone anyway. They really could.
Right.
Again, was going to be a Wing song. They worked the hell out of it. The video, again, we always talk about the videos because this was the beginning of the video age. It was classic, and it was Tom's first foray into the, you know. But, I mean, such a great song. said it was never done live. This one should have been done live.
Please.
This one should have done live. You know,
he should in the 89 tour, he should have showed a little bit more love to his 80s career or 80s like, output.
Take you know, it away. Norman
Lonely Nights. Even some like Spies Like Us, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have mind, you know.
Right, but he really
just show your 80s output a little bit more love.
Right, yeah, just a little bit, and he didn't. Yeah. He didn't. But Take It Away. I mean, it's just you know everything about it. It's just it's basically the story of the Beatles in song.
Right.
You know, and the video. You know, the man, John Hurt.
Right.
You know, who was just I think fresh off playing. I think
the
well,
Elephant
it was
actually, Man.
Right, well, it wasn't fresh, but he was the Elephant Man. Yep. You know. You know, he plays the Brian Epstein.
Yeah.
In the video and goes there and sees the band playing with George Martin and Ringo and Eric Stewart. And I mean, it's just, you know, everything about that song is phenomenal. Susan has it as her number two, Take It Away. I also like the edit where you kind of hear it clean opening without the tug of war link.
Yes.
That version's pretty cool too. You just hear a nice clean opening of Take It Away with the bass.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man. That's a song I could never, ever get tired of listening to. And I know my partner probably feels the same way, even stronger than me about it. Yeah. You know, Linda's vocals on it, you know, never know who may be listening to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it is phenomenal in every way. Serge says harmonies are amazing. Absolutely.
Harmonies are amazing on that track. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So that's my number three. So take it away.
Thank you. Number two, this is a case where you can have a favorite song and, you know, a song that you know is the best song on the album. So for me, I think the best song on the album is by far Wanderlust, which is my number two. I think it's the most Beatles sounding song he may have done throughout his whole solo career, you know, in that kind of For No One, Eleanor Rigby style of song. You know, I like the fact that, you know, I think Ringo's on this one as well. I wish he would sing more about his life, you know, even if it's drug related or not drug related, which this song is drug related.
Well,
you know,
it's just a minor offense in the Virgin Islands.
True, but you know, but I'm it's cool that he wrote it and I think because he doesn't really bring us into his life, even though this is, like you said, it's kind of like a minor thing, you know. I think this was done during the London Town sessions.
77,
right. So, but I think this is one of his best vocal performances throughout his entire career. I think this was, you know, George Martin's, you know, his work on the song with the, you know, the instrumentation and whatnot, or if he did the arrangement. I think everything about this, the, you know, backing vocals, you know, Ringo's drums, I think are excellent.
Is it Ringo or is it?
Yeah, it is Ringo. It's Ringo that says on here.
Okay.
Yeah, it says here.
I would have thought was Steve Gadd.
Yeah, but it says Ringo on there. But I think it's a perfect song in my opinion. And again, this is one of the ones that I wish he.
No, it's not Ringo. I didn't.
Think I have Ringo on here. This one says Ringo.
Well, this one says Adrian Shepherd, drums and percussion.
Yeah, but it also says Ringo. It doesn't have Ringo on there at all.
No,
this is the archive release, too. Right. Is that the archive release?
No, this is the ninth. This is the original EMI.
Okay.
Pressing.
Yeah, I got Ringo and Ringo on here with Adrian Shepherd. So,
maybe they corrected that one. Well, we could ask Dave Maddox. Maybe he remembers.
Yeah.
maybe.
But I think this is a perfect song, and it's a case where it's the best song on the record. But however, it's not my favorite.
It's not your favorite. All right. This song is my number two, taking it into number two. It's, I was flipping back and forth, making it number one, Ringo or Steve Gadd on Wanderlust. Well, we're just talking about that. Tom says in the archive, which is in my other room.
Yeah.
Ringo's credited, but on the, Adrian Shepherd is credited on here.
Well, Shepherd's on here as well. Credited on here as well, but it's got Ringo on there also. So
I never sounded like to me, you're like a Ringo song.
Mm.
Drumming on it, to personally, to my ears,
listening to it
Maybe they corrected it, but yeah. it's on the archive. Somebody said it should have been on Wanda. It should have been on London Town. Imagine that, and Waterspout, and Wanda.
Forget about it.
Literally.
Yeah.
Wanderlust is, man, that's talk about early memories of great McCartney music. Knowing a good song when you hear it, it's like, man, this could be like on Abbey Road. It's that good. You've got the end of it too. You've got the counter melody stuff going on. You know, where did I? And then you hear the other part of it come back. You know, what better time to find a brand new day, a Wanderlust away? I mean, it's just, it is like otherworldly good. It's probably,
I think this is just as good as any Beatles song, in my opinion.
Fact.
Yeah.
It's not an opinion. I think most musically minded people would agree with you. Bulldog says, you mean Water Sprout? Yeah, that's you, Tom.
I know, right?
And again, he loved it so much, he revisited it for Broad Street, which is another point. Like, I enjoy the Broad Street version just as much, maybe even slightly more. I kind of go back and forth with that. I mean, only because we get video footage of seeing him sing Wanderlust, and where else?
Right.
Doesn't exist anywhere else.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
And obviously, you know, we're only talking, I mean, Broad Street wraps up filming in October of 83. So on the heels of this,
very busy period on the heels of this
record. So he was going to be, you know, not be totally foreign with it. You got the Philip Jones Brass Ensemble, who we used lots of times on this record. Yeah. They're also in the Broad Street film. So Bill Leary says the best part of that movie. Totally agree. Totally agree. The medley at the beginning of the movie is the best part. It is. But the Philip Jones Brass Ensemble do a great work. Great brass on this, takes you out on a high note. And again, it's about a pot bust, you know. What petty crime was I found guilty of?
Exactly.
Yeah. Adam asks, are we going to rank Broad Street? We are going to rank Broad Street
in two weeks' time.
So Tom and I both feel the same way on Wanderlust.
Great track.
Let's hear it, brother.
All right. You know, it. Number one for me is Take It Away. It'll always be Take It Away. Take It Away for me is always going to be a top five McCartney song for me. I do like how it weaves into at the end of Tug of War. I love the best part from one of the best parts for me is the beginning drums between Ringo and Steve Gadd, you know, and I dig when you get to see them in the video. You know, I love seeing them two, the drum kits together and them, you know, going at it. But again, I love this opening vocals from Paul. I love the piano by George Martin there. I mean, you know, good stuff. I mean, I think it's just another perfect song on this album. Very upbeat, very energetic. Like you said, it tells a story. You know, you never know who may be listening to you. I really dig that. I love all the verses. I love the chorus. I love his perfect.
Yeah, perfect. You know,
yeah,
perfect in every way. I mean, it really is. Bulldog, Pipes of Peace was released in October 83. Yes, it was. I was talking about the filming of Broad Street, which also wrapped up around that same time. And the kid loves you. She loves your choice, the Queen.
Yeah.
The Queen approves.
Oh, wow. Whew. The head gets to stay on the neck for another day.
Yeah, it's the perfect pop single.
Yeah, there you go. Again, I think this is just as good as any Beatles song as well, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, and you've got so much, when you've got George Martin, you've got Ringo, and they're trying to like do a little bit of a how could it not?
And the Oz at the end is very reminiscent of I'm Not in Love by 10cc, you know?
Yes. So. I mean, and you hear that, you're like, wow, that sounds like a 10cc song. Well,
exactly.
There's a reason for that, because the guy is on the song.
Yeah. And you get that. You also, you know, another song that you get that on the end of, too, is Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are. You get that same, you know, effect on that as well. You know, the horns going on at the same time as that. You know, it's just, it kicks ass.
Oh, it really does. Christian says probably his best 80s single, Take It Away.
I Well, it would be between that and No More Lonely Nights. For me. Yeah.
Agreed with that. Yeah. You know, and just a great chord change. You know, boom, yeah. Right here.
You never know.
Maybe this now. You know,
and it's reminiscent. It's reminiscent to Love Doesn't Come in a Minute. You know.
Yes. It's very reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, man.
That's not, as Bulldog says, it's not always a great formula. Paul, George, Ringo, George Martin, i.e. Pipes of Peace. Well,
right.
Well, you'll have to watch next week because you'll be surprised for some of those rankings, too.
Yeah.
It's not on. And the Faded Flowers. I mean, the videos are you know, and one of our viewers that watches this, I think, could have gone to the filming of this because if you were a ticket member of the Wings, James, you could have, you know, he had a ticket to go to the filming of this.
If you were a member of the Club Sandwich, right? If you're a subscriber to Club Sandwich or a member of the fan club, you had an opportunity to go to the video shooting. Yep.
Yeah, you could have. Oh man, that's a regret. But man, I can't fault you for that number one, brother.
I just get chills listening to it. I mean, it's perfect.
It is. It is. And it never got on. Yeah, exactly. Well, until 2015 it did.
Right.
Oh, man. So, number one for me, no surprise, is the title track. Is the title track.
Wow.
Susan says, I think we can agree this is all one great album. Yeah, brother, I'm surprised. I thought you were going to have this a little higher, but I respect your reasons why you had it. I really do. For me, this one, and I understand you talking about the whole, like, the sound effects and the stuff. That could be a little bit, you know, grating, I guess, on the ears a little bit. You know, a little of that, some of that pushing and pulling and all that stuff.
Right.
But everything else about the record, this could have been on side two of Abbey Road. And again, this is as good as any Beatles song. Okay. Any Beatles song.
Yeah.
Any Beatles song. You know, the drums in this. Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, when the song kicks up, when it really kind of just comes out of the intro and it goes in years to come.
Yeah.
You know, catch on comments here. Yeah. The single version of Tug of War. That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Lewison was at the taping of the video and said Ringo was drunk. Take it away.
Surprise.
Yeah. But right here, this part of the song, in years to come. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. No, great part.
And it's a very prophetic line, too. You know, very thought-provoking. There it is. But it won't be soon enough for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you hear this song, you're looking at the album cover, you're taking it in, you're like, whoa, this is going to be a very, you know, and then again, you hear the strings, and you know, you know that that's George doing his Beatle thing,
right?
And I guess in light of the whole of Lennon, maybe that's why it's more of a sentimental favorite.
Okay, understood. Good stuff.
Oh,
listen, George Martin really shines on this record as well. You know,
yeah,
you know, not just Paul.
You got the military. You got the military snare drum going on here a little bit. Music Sound Gear says good ranking. All gaskets are intact. We're very happy to hear that.
And this is an okay video as well. I mean, I don't think it's a bad video.
Yeah. Question: does the cast do live streams, or is it just a cast of full vids? Is the cast of live stream, or live streams are just ranked when we rank the tracks?
Yeah.
That's all.
For the most part.
And our regular episodes on Saturdays are usually just Tom and I on an or with a guest. Yeah. On a pre-recorded topic, but the with the lives are just the albums. But yeah, that's Tug of War ranked.
Yeah,
we were looking forward to this one. But it won't be soon. It's a good way to go out going into next week. Good night, Macmaniacs. Yes, because we have a doozy next week, which is gonna turn some heads when we rank that sucker. You know it.
Come on, got it right there. Pipes of Peace.
Come on. Oh, I'm going to shock some people with this one. I know it.
Really?
Oh, I know it. I know it.
Where do you got Dustpan Lid at?
Pretty high. Just kidding. Yeah. So, yeah, no, this is, listen, it's always a good fun. Listen, you never need an excuse to revisit Tug of War.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I had a great time. No, I put it on. I put the record on earlier today. I was, you know, so I listened to it quite a bit over last week and glad I did, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Bill Leary, thank you. Great show, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Where's Broad Street on CD? Adam wants to know. Right here. Here you go. Right there. One good song, easy ranking for me. Oh, he's talking about Pipes of Peace. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I'll try one. Step right up.
Right up. Yep. Right. Yep. Mac and Jack.
Mac and Jack Wonder Potion. Oh, he's not. Yeah. Oh, we'll have a blast with that one.
Oh, we're gonna have a great time with this one. Absolutely. Let me tell you. I'll tell you this. Were you born in '83?
No.
Okay. This either on any video outlet, whether it was MTV or those, you know, hour or half hour video shows that were on regular TV and on the radio. This song was like on the hour every hour. You either saw this or heard this video or heard it on the radio, saw this video on TV. It was nonstop. This was a machine.
Yeah, it was. Oh, comment here, Serge. Rain Clouds and I'll Give You a Ring should be on this record. Agree.
I would take Get It. I would take that off. And I would put I'll Give You a Ring. I think I'll Give You a Ring fits the album more than Rain Clouds does.
This was fun. Glad I took a break from preparing for the Motown class. Thank you, Kid, for popping in here, Kid O'Toole. And check her out on Facebook. She teaches a great class at Monmouth on Motown and other classes. So check her out for that. But thank you for popping in. And
next
week for MJ. That's right up your alley, Kit. Yep. So that'll be a great one. So yeah, the pieces of pipes, as you like to say. Next week.
Or Tug of Peace, right?
Tug of Peace. Yeah. No, all your troubles cease when you learn to play the pipes of peace.
Right.
Do they?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see. But yeah, see. A great time. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, everybody.
If you're new and if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to our channel. We'd really appreciate it. We're getting really close to 450, and we'd like to try to get to 500 here soon. And just keep them coming. So thank you again. Check us out. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Anything else before we sign off, Andy?
Not much. You said it all, brother. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next.